Oh Lord, you are so good. You're so good. Oh Lord, you are so good. You are so good and so ready to forgive. So full of unfailing love. For all who ask for your help. How necessary it is for us to ask the Lord for help. I don't know why sometimes we go about our day and we think, we're not even thinking maybe. I can do this and I can do that, and we try and do stuff on our own. And oftentimes I find myself throughout the day, so often I cannot count. I'll recognize God has done something and I'll just go, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. It's coming out of me more and more and more and more. Oh, Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone, let's say that word together, everyone, for everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:36, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, for the free gift of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. John 17:3, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. 1 John 4:9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we, listen to this, live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and he is eternal life. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now, how many have loved ones that are not saved yet? Quite a few. How many know the Scripture is true? Every word is true. Now, how does that make you feel in regards to the verses that I just read about having life in the Son? And you say, well, they haven't come to Jesus yet. And we labor. Sometimes we stew over the fact that our loved ones aren't saved yet. Does anybody have that experience? That maybe you're just getting a little frustrated that God hasn't heard your prayer yet. It's like my father talking to God, my earthly father, my dad. He was talking to God one day, and at that point, our house hadn't sold. And he says to God, "Now, God, we've been talking to you. That house hasn't sold. How come that house hasn't sold yet?" He's just talking to God like that. "How come that house hasn't sold yet? Now, God, we believe you that that house will sell before Christmas. Thank you." Now, so there are times we need that kind of tenacity. But I begin to ask myself this past week, I begin to ask myself the question, if God loves everyone, how many believe God loves everyone? Whew, that's big time. If God loves everyone and desires that they all come to Him, then what's the delay? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it goes like this. This is the wise guy of the scripture. Solomon, "For everything there is a season, a time. For every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet." That's pretty hard to do. "A time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." In verse 11 it says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has planted eternity. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." And I would submit to you, that's probably our problem. Because we don't see the scope of God, nor do we see the plan of God. And we don't see the purpose and the plan. And that verse caused a lot of questions. Used to cause a lot of questions in my mind. But then I found this verse this past week in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Perga and Galatia." And listen to this. It says, "Because the Holy Spirit had prevented." The Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. This is Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. He prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. And I thought, what is that? Doesn't God care? What's the story with that? But he does care. But see, God does everything beautiful in His time. And a part of that time is getting people ready to receive Him. You see, as many as receive Him, to them He gave them power to become. In John 6, verse 44, 45, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Spirit who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the Scripture, they will all be taught by the Lord. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me." That sounds like to me that the Lord is speaking. Sometimes we just don't hear it. Sometimes we just don't get it. Do you know that salvation was for everyone, yet there was a time when their eyes were closed and their ears were plugged up so that they could not hear and could not see, lest they turn to the Lord, and the Bible says, and be healed. We want to hurry up the process, but God knows the perfect time. And it's necessary for every one of us to learn that God has perfect will and perfect time for things to get done. What He needs from us is that we hear and we listen. Now, there are times when my wife will say something to me. And she said, "You really didn't hear me now, did you?" You ever have that experience in your home? The ladies call it selective hearing. And sometimes I really do hear, and I'm processing. It takes me a bit to process it. Now, I don't really call that selective. She says it's close. Now, see? But there is some delay between the speaking and the listening, especially during those times when she's in another room trying to talk to me in a different room. You ever have that experience? It's just one of those things. And we know God's in heaven. And we are on earth, but He has a way of talking and communicating. Jesus said it. You see, He said it. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him. So my question is, where do you get this hearing from? And where do you get this listening? Where does this voice come from? Some people call it intuition. I really do believe that it's God's will that none should perish, but that everyone come to have everlasting life. I do believe that. But I also know that God knows the timing and that God's way is perfect and that God is just. He's just as He is loving. He's just as merciful as He is loving. Jesus says that in John chapter 10, verse 27, He says, "My sheep listen to My voice." He says, "I know them and they follow Me." Now, if you've been around, anyone here has been around sheep? One, two. Okay, interesting. I have a friend, pastor friend actually, that used to be a shepherd. He had his own sheep. He's actually written a book about being a shepherd. And it's really interesting how there are so many similarities in so many ways. The sheep here, usually in this culture, are driven by the shepherd. But over there in the Middle East, shepherds lead their sheep. And Brother Larry used to say to me, Ronnie said, I would go to where the sheep are. Matter of fact, there was one time when he had sold his sheep and he went to visit them quite a bit later over at the fellow's house that he had sold them to. And he calls out to the sheep and immediately the ears perk right up. And they run right over to where he was because they were used to the sound of his voice. Oh my, that's awesome. My sheep hear. They know. But where does this voice come from? Where does this thing come from? In John 10, verse 16, He says, "I have other sheep that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them in also. They will listen to My voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Now, I'm using a microphone. Now, I could talk to you and you might not hear me if I did not use the microphone. Doesn't matter what microphone it is, the microphone is used to amplify the sound. Now, when we're born again, we do have the Spirit of the Lord. We do have the Spirit of the Lord in us. But there is also another experience, if I can say it like that, that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that the only way you can hear God is to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that He amplifies the sound. There is a connection. It's just not so we can say, oh, I speak in tongues. There is a greater capacity for reception. The sound is amplified, and I got dwelling on this the last few days. This is so powerful. But that is one of the works of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So if I was going to title our message, and this will probably run into another Sunday, if I was going to title this message, I would simply title it, The Anointing That Grows. The Anointing That Grows. It's just not so that we can grow. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is just not so that we can grow spiritually. And the Holy Spirit is not just for ourselves. The Holy Spirit is for others. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised to you. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" That's an experience. Praise God. It's just not so we can say, "Whoo, I got more power. I got more joy. I got more wisdom." It's so that I personally believe that the Spirit of the Lord amplifies the sound so that we can hear it. And he takes it and makes our spirit so that we can receive the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 8, it says, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?'" Did you get that? Free Israel and restore our kingdom. And he replies, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive." And I thought, dear Lord, we can spend time on the calendar and all the events and the things that God will do in the book of Revelation. We can spend our time with spinning our wheels sometimes because sometimes we don't understand God. Not that there's something you shouldn't discuss them, but I'm just saying, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will, doesn't say might be, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So what I'm going to share with you in another message, not today, is how the church grows and how we grow. We're going to see something really fascinating about how the Spirit of the Lord works, what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. I love to speak in tongues. I love it. It's like a torrent. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I've seen more things accomplished as we call it pray in the Spirit. And Peter says it's for everyone. But it amplifies, I find that it amplifies his speaking and it amplifies my hearing. Ooh, praise God. That's big. And we're going to see how the church grows. Now, I already shared, we already read the scripture, that the Spirit of the Lord did not allow Paul and Barnabas to go into certain areas. They weren't ready. It wasn't the timing of God. So the Holy Spirit forbid them to go into certain areas. In order for that to happen, these boys had to be listening. Something had happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were tuned in to the Holy Spirit. They were hearing the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you're not to go there. I don't know if you've had the experience, but there have been times when we have, and the Lord would just say, no, and I want to go there, but I can't go there. I really want to do this, but I can't do this. And I know that sense of, I can't do that right now. I need some patience here. And sometimes people around us will pressure us to be going in and moving in an area that we know inside we're not supposed to venture into yet. You see, we need the sensitivity. We need the hearing. We need the reception cleared. Praise God. The channels, that pathway, that telephone line, if I can say it like that, that communication. And you will find that there is a fellowship that you will have with Almighty God that comes to life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure if we took time, that there would be quite a few of you that would talk about, you know, how the Lord ministered to you. And you heard something and you acted on it. And like I said earlier, sometimes I've done things and I'll go, wow. And I'll recognize it as being God. I may not recognize it before I got there. But when we actually did what we were instructed, and I thought, wow, how was you, God? And each day, it gets a little clearer. It's a journey. It's just not, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just not a once in a while happening or a once happening. Oh, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was first filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 11 years old. Never forget that day. In our church in Woodstock, Ontario, as a matter of fact, we were in the old church that was built in 1881. I was saved when I was 7 years old. And our loving pastor had a word that, boy, it just got to me as a kid. And I remember giving my life to Jesus and my dad coming into the room and saying, Ronnie, I guess something happened in your life. And I said, yes, Dad, it did. And he saved me, but I'm called into ministry. Oh, I can never forget my dad. That's nice. And even at the young age, but then when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, 11 years old, it was an experience. But what I didn't realize is that the Bible actually talks about, Paul says, uses the word, be being filled. See, it's just not a once experience. It's a relationship. Praise God. And now when I was 17, I had another experience with the Holy Spirit. The way that I'm going to describe it may be funny to you, but this short, portly fellow came to our church. He was a businessman and was not in full-time ministry. He was just starting out in ministry. And he was He had done 12 years of judo, and he came to our church. That man's name was Harold Chamberlain. I was 17 years old. And that man, he came in, and he was, like I said, he was a businessman. He wasn't a preacher. Okay? He hadn't gone through the whole routine of Bible school and the whole thing. He was just used by God. He laid his hands on me and began to prophesy over my sister and myself. And I'll tell you what. Woof. 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 I tell you what. The power of the Holy Spirit not only came upon me, but out of my belly was a gusher. I couldn't shut it down. He flowed through me. And even though I had been filled back, first filled when I was 11 years old, this had been something so totally unique and different. I had never experienced anything like this. And what I'm going to say to you, it's better felt than telt. It's easier for me. I can't really describe all the feelings that I had. But I also realized it wasn't just a feeling, it was by faith that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was immersed in the Holy Spirit. Well, I knew that there was something going to take place in my life when I was 17. That God was challenging me to a new place. But it seems like it's taken a journey for me to get from there to where I am now, where I learn and have learned His voice. My sheep know my voice. Father, I thank You for the moving of Your Holy Spirit. You came upon, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, when they were all sitting, they weren't dancing. It doesn't say that they were actively doing anything. It says they were sitting. And suddenly, they were probably praying. But we don't know exactly. They were just, Your word says, waiting. They didn't even know, Father, what they were waiting for. And Father, there may be people that are here and they don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of Your Holy Spirit, but I ask that You would speak to them and quicken them in their spirit. Awaken them to the sensitivity of Your voice and of the urgency of Your precious Holy Spirit to be filled. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Thank You, Lord.